Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique take at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gonsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. And you can find me in the Spotify green room at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We have two games to talk about, and luckily for all of us, they're good games to talk about. Last night's walk-off and today's surprisingly good performance from Jameson Taillon. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Don't you just love baseball? The Yankees lose the start in which their ace was on the mound. And then they win the next two, with Michael King starting and Jameson Taillon starting. Because that's just the way baseball is. You always assume something's going to happen, and then it doesn't. I assumed the Yankees would win the Cole start and lose the King and Taillon starts. What the hell do I know? Anyway, let's talk about last night's game, because that one was annoying. It ultimately ended in a good way, but it was annoying. Aroldis Chapman made me want to throw my iPhone across the room, and I can't do that because I only got it 2 months ago. It's my first iPhone. I have to be nice to it. It was a big deal. The Yankees go up 4-3. Rugi Odor hits the home run. And you're thinking, ooh, okay, this'll be good. And then Chapman just, whew, they showed a stat last night. And I think it's since May 15th, I want to say, his ERA is like a 5.79. And that was after his incredible start. So anyone who thinks that he's falling off because he can't use sticky stuff is wrong, because this has been happening for a while. And sure, he'll have flashes of brilliance, but it feels like these outings of his, the game against the A's on Sunday, that could have been a disaster. He just lucked into a triple play because he just wasn't looking good at all. The same thing happened last night. I would much prefer be comfortable while watching my closer come into a game. How I felt when Mariano Rivera came into a game. Sure, he screwed up every once in a while. He had those weeks in August nearly every year. What's wrong with Mo Week? That was not a fun tradition, but we knew it when it was happening that he would recover from that week or so. He always had that stretch of games where you thought, okay, he's hitting his wall a little bit and then he'll be fine. But right now, I don't feel comfortable watching Aroldis Chapman pitch, ever. And this has been happening for over a month now. Let's not forget Zach Britton giving up the home run to Carlos Santana and then setting up the Rugi Odor home run to put them up 4-3. Then the top of the ninth happens, and it starts off fine. Hunter Dozier is called out on strikes, and you're thinking, okay, one out. Then Michael A. Taylor singles, and you're thinking, okay. Then Hanser Alberto was called out on strikes, and two outs, one on. Okay, maybe he can get out of this. Whit Merrifield hits a single, which isn't surprising because Whit Merrifield is one of those guys who's annoying. Then they make Chapman intentionally walk Carlos Santana, and you're thinking, this could be a disaster. Now, It could have been worse. Sebastian Rivero, who doesn't or didn't have a hit up to that point, walks, and I believe it was on four pitches, if I'm not mistaken. Chapman just could not find the strike zone at all. He wouldn't throw his fastball either, which was another frustrating thing. And the last pitch that he threw in that at-bat was absolutely horrible. Gary Sanchez, thank God he caught it. Then Ryan O'Hearn hits a single. Ryan O'Hearn of the, what was his batting average? 213 batting average, and had two home runs this series. So they go up 5-4. Thank goodness Jared Dyson grounded out to end the inning, and it didn't go any further than that, because I was envisioning another bullpen meltdown, like in the Gerrit Cole start, seeing the Yankees give up like three or four runs. So Aaron Judge strikes out swinging against Greg Holland, and you're thinking, here we go. They're going to go down 1-2-3 quietly. They're going to end the game. It's going to be annoying. Then Gary Sanchez, thank goodness for Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez hits a home run, his 12th to tie the game.
Gary!
Giancarlo Stanton hits a single. Tyler Wade replaces him. This is the key. So while Tyler Wade is on second and Luke Voit is up, Greg Holland throws a wild pitch. So that advances Tyler Wade to second. Luke Voit hits a ball that looks like it's going to be a home run, then it bounces off the wall, but Tyler Wade scores. The Yankees win. And what did I bitch about on the show yesterday about people interfering with balls? Another moron in left field nearly hit Luke Voit's ball with his arms as he was reaching over the wall. Can you stop doing that? I really don't understand why these people don't realize that they're in play when they do this. Why would you reach for a ball? I don't understand. This drives me crazy. It's one thing if a fly ball is coming at you, right? And it lands, say, near your waist, you know, and you're making a low catch, and a player happens to maybe be near the top of the wall and thinks maybe you interfered. But if the ball is landing outside of the field, that's fine. But don't reach over the wall. Stop reaching over the wall. Why didn't people learn their lesson with Jeffrey Mayer and Steve Bartman? What is the matter with you? In a moment, we'll talk more about last night's game. I'll have some numbers for you. But first, investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. Michael King spoke with reporters before last night's game, said that his goal was to pitch five innings. He just missed. Pitching 4 2/3 last night, gave up two runs on three hits. He had three walks, five strikeouts, gave up a home run to, who was it again? It wasn't O'Hearn, was it? Yes, of course it was O'Hearn. That's right. Yeah, that was his second home run of the season. It was his fifth of the season, second of the series. Unbelievable. But not bad for Michael King. You know, he nearly reached his goal, which, you know, would have been nice. He threw 72 pitches, 44 for strikes. Chad Green came in, pitched 2 1/3 innings, struck out one, didn't give up a hit. And he threw 29 pitches, 20 of them were strikes. Britton came in, gave up that home run to Carlos Santana, but he also struck out two. And then Chapman. I mean, his ERA on the season is 2.54. It's not as if his ERA has gone up to something really bloated, but he did have that streak where he didn't give up an earned run at all for his first, how many appearances was it? So yeah, he needs to turn things around. As for Danny Duffy, he pitched 2 innings, walked 3, struck out 4, didn't give up a hit or a run. He threw 42 pitches, 21 of them are strikes. 6 guys pitched after Duffy left the game. As I said yesterday, he's coming back from an injury, so I don't think the Royals wanted to put him out there for too long. They just want to build him up. Buttercup, sorry, had to do it. So the Yankees had, let's see, they were 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position, left 10 on base. They had 7 hits overall, so it wasn't like they were bashing the ball. But they had the 2 home runs by Odor and Sanchez. Clint Frazier had a big double that tied the game at 2 after King had given up those 2 runs on the O'Hearn home run in the first inning. That was another thing. It seemed like it was going to be a bad game because he gave up 2 runs right away, and then he kind of settled down and it was okay. Again, the big story of last night was Aroldis Chapman getting his ass bailed out by Gary Sanchez once again, like he did in Buffalo last week. So he needs to be buying Gary Sanchez some dinner. So let's move on to today's game. Another pleasantly surprising game, because Jameson Taillon pitched into the 7th inning. I know, I can't believe it. He didn't give up any home runs, gave up 1 run on 5 hits, walked 2, struck out 6, and he lasted 6 1/3. I was very excited about this. He threw 96 pitches. 66 were strikes. So it wasn't as if he was completely dominant, but so much better than he's been. And hopefully this is a step in the right direction for him. You know, people will say, oh, it's only the Royals, but, you know, he pitched against other teams who aren't supposed to be good and didn't look good against them. So this is a big step for him. The other thing from today, the Yankees 2-5 hitters today. 9-for-18 with 3 home runs, 6 runs, and 7 runs batted in. My goodness, this is the type of game that you should be expecting from the Yankees offense. Don't expect it all the time, but it's nice to see this happen. So let's look at everyone's numbers. Judge was 3-for-3, Sanchez 2-for-5, Stanton 3-for-5, Odor 3-for-4, Voit 1-for-5. His was that 3rd inning home run. So it's good to have him back in the lineup. Judge hit a home run in the 1st inning, got things started for the Yankees, and it was a great game. They had 13 hits. They were 4-for-10 with runners in scoring position. That's a little better than usual, although they left 10 on base. That seems to be their magic number. They had 5 walks, 7 strikeouts as a team. Again, 13 hits. So this was a much better game for them. And pitching-wise, Nestor Cortes Jr. came in, did a great job relieving Taillon. 2 2/3 innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. So Nestor Cortes Jr. should keep that mustache. It seems to be working for him. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention Gary Sanchez's home run, because he's the one that changed the score from 4-1 to 7-1 and gave the Yankees a lot more breathing room, and he hit that home run off former Yankee Anthony Swarzak.
Gary!
So that was his 13th of the year. Judge's 16th of the year, Voit's 3rd of the year. So again, good game, good way to end the series heading into a series against the Red Sox up in Fenway. I will have the preview of that series on tomorrow's show. Gio Urshela didn't play for the 2nd day in a row. He had x-rays on his shin. They came back negative, so I guess he's day-to-day. Let's cross our fingers. In a moment, we're going to talk about baseball's latest silly decision. But first, BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs through the playoffs. Speaking of that was quite a game by the Islanders last night. So if you bet on that game, you probably had a nice night. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning while you have to wait for the person behind the counter to order the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands that they have? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save money and time using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Baseball. More specifically, Major League Baseball, the only sport that loves to shoot itself in the foot. The latest problem, although it's not that much of a problem, but people are not happy about it. They released the All-Star jerseys. And while they're not great, the worst part is they're going to make the All-Star teams wear those uniforms instead of wearing their individual team uniforms during the game. Because usually you see those guys in their All-Star uniforms during the home run derby. Not this year. You're going to see it in the regular game. How fun. Susan Waldman described the uniforms in a really funny way. She said it looks like someone giving out ice cream. I mean, she's old and she's making a really old reference, but ice cream men used to actually have to dress up in their trucks when they were giving out ice cream years ago. My papu was an ice cream man. He had a uniform. So that's how she described it. And yeah, when I looked at the American League, I think it was the American League uniform, it reminded me of Mr. Softy for some reason. So yeah, she has a point. Baseball is just, I don't understand them at all. They fix things that don't need to be fixed, and they don't fix things that need to be fixed. Or they're too late in fixing things that need to be fixed by, you know, 4 or 5 years. Foreign substances. Anyway, I just don't get it. But I did see that the All-Star uniform is being sold for $399 just for the jersey. That's insane. $399 for a jersey. I realize it's 2021, and I've bought All-Star jerseys in the past. I bought Jason Giambi's 2002 and 2003 jerseys, and I think they were maybe $150 at the time, but still. And I know it's a long time since then, but $400 for a jersey? That's insane to me. I could buy a really fancy iPad with $400. Actually, I think I might be able to buy two not-so-fancy iPads for $400. This could be a fun game. What else could we buy for $400? It's ridiculous. And it's not even that nice. If it was a nice jersey, then maybe, but not real. $400. I'm just flabbergasted by $400 for a baseball jersey. I know that everything's expensive because when you go to the websites and, you know, or even if you're at the stadium, like, God forbid you're cold and not dressed properly, you have to drop $85 on a sweatshirt. Sure, they're nice sweatshirts, but $85? No. You know, I'm ranting a lot for someone who's really happy that the Yankees corrected themselves and beat the Royals the way they're supposed to beat the Royals in the last two games. Again, last night's game, oh, that could have been an absolute disaster. And actually, Aroldis Chapman should take both Sanchez and Voit out for dinner. Before I close out the show, here's what Jameson Taillon said about his performance this afternoon.
Hey, Jameson, what was the biggest difference for you on the mound this afternoon?
Yeah, I thought my last start against the A's, I thought I had a lot to build off of, and then today was kind of just like a continuation of that. I had some time to let that A's start marinate and pick what I liked from it and stuff, and I felt like I carried that over today well. So mixed the four-seam and the two-seam fastball, was throwing the curveball more aggressively, was throwing it for strikes a little better than I have been all year. Got some quick outs on the changeup, which helped keep the pitch count down, and then that took some pressure off the slider, and it didn't have to be like my primary pitch today. So that was kind of just a nice complimentary pitch.
You mentioned the curveball. Aaron Boone mentioned that pitch as well. Why did that play different for you today? What made you throw it more aggressively?
Yeah. After that Philly debacle start, I kind of was just curious where my curveball went, because my whole life that's been my best pitch. That's been something like, no matter what I'm taking out to the mound that day, my curveball is usually something I could really count on being there in big spots and stuff. And up till that point, it really hadn't been there for me at all this year. So, you know, in between starts, I messed with my grip a little bit. I was messing with my mentality on it a little bit, my sights a little bit. And then I thought against the A's it was better. And then I thought today was another step forward with it.
You've spoken a lot over the last couple of weeks about pitch mix, about pitch selection in certain spots. Just how satisfying is it for you to have it click in an outing?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have it all come together a little bit for an outing, especially, you know, coming into today, having the series split, this being the deciding game of a series, I really wanted to go out there and just give us a good shot to win. So definitely feels good leaving here with a win, you know, going into Boston with a series win. But yeah, the pitch mix was definitely a lot better. You know, I didn't feel like I backed myself into a corner and had to rely on just one thing. I felt like I kind of had everything going.
Jake Seiner, please unmute.
Hey, Jameson, this is the first time in over a month the Yankees have won a game by more than four runs, getting sort of an easy start to finish blowout win like that. I'm curious, both as the guy on the mound, what's the benefit for you just getting that big lead early and being able to cruise a little bit? And are you getting a sense of relief or any other emotions at the clubhouse just having gotten a game like this where you guys can cruise into the finish like that?
Yeah, man, our lineup wore that starter down for them. They wore Keller down pretty hard from the get-go. I don't think he had one easy inning all day. There was just traffic on base, a lot of three ball counts, a lot of walks, a lot of hard hit balls. Even some of the outs we made were hard hit balls. So, yeah, I mean, once you get a lead like that, you can go out there and really be aggressive, especially in the later innings. It allows you to not have to be too fine. Like, the lineup's seen me 2-3 times. But, you know, when you have a lead, that doesn't quite matter as much. You can just keep really, really going at guys. So, yeah, I mean, it was a nice win for the team. I thought the lineup did a great job. Even last night, just some of the at-bats, being able to walk that many times, that kind of tells me as a pitcher that they're seeing the ball well and they're tracking the ball well. So it was nice to see it come together.
So the Yankees win two good games. They ended the series on a high note heading into Boston tomorrow. Again, I will have the preview of the Boston series up in Fenway during tomorrow's episode. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.